Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission each week is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs, business people, authors, speakers, anybody who has a lot of information to share that I can find who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice with us each week. Excuse me. Today, I welcome back to the show my friend and frequent partner in Nerd Heaven, Adam Homey. Adam is a fun-loving internet geek who uses technical terms like 404 and server-side include methodology in everyday conversation. He's been involved with website development since the mid-1990s, pretty much when I was as well, back when frames or no frames was the big question of the day, and a very sophisticated site had lots of animated GIFs and rich textured backgrounds. Not much else, because we didn't really have GUI much back then. We'll explain that on later. And yes, he had one or two of those sites, as did I, and no, you can't see them because they are thankfully gone. They're dead. So today our topic is launch your big online marketing empire with a tiny budget, about an hour of a day. And it's a big, big topic. So without further ado, I will ask Adam to share a bit about himself for those of you who have not heard of Adam or heard our previous interviews. And then we're off to the races. Adam, good morning. Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Denise. I love your show. I listen to it almost every week, weather permitting. And I know that this community that we have with us today are what I like to call the business creators, those who help others win the game of business and marketing. And this is an area and a niche that I have a particular soft spot for, because nothing that we talk about online would really be possible without our partners in success.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, you know, when you and I started out, and I've told this story before, I was one of those people who had to have a computer before there was an internet. I mean, seriously,
right.
I had to have, it was a bone anchor, it was a very sophisticated filing system, word processor, but it didn't really do anything, and oh my gosh, I paid through the nose for that thing, but I had to have it, and I got one of the very first Texas Instruments, and, you know, then all of a sudden, as time went on, and the internet and GUI, graphical user interface, and all of these things came into play, it's like, if you didn't believe in God, you did then. It's like, oh, there is a God. Look, you know, all this stuff is out there. But the thing is, and you just nailed it, we didn't really have any teachers or mentors or groups or any place we could go. We just kind of launched in there and did it with our own instincts. But when the internet came along, where it is kind of now, and we were able to reach out and talk with other people and partner with other people, that's when business really got interesting, isn't it?
I think that's very true. And, you know, I still remember back in, it was about 1995, I believe it was, when I first discovered this thing called the internet. I was a student at Penn State University, and I learned that I had this thing called email. So I logged in, and I checked it out, and I emailed a whole bunch of my friends who lived in the same building as me, in some cases literally right next door. It's like, look at me, I can email. And then I got an AOL account, and I was all excited because I could hear, you've got mail. Remember back in those days when you've got mail, you actually got excited, like, wow, somebody emailed me, somebody likes me. And now I'm thinking, okay, can I at least get something done here before I have to look at that damn email?
But meantime,
when we go to the post office or the post office and we get our actual mail and we get something that's not a bill or a credit card application, we get all excited.
It's very unusual to get real mail these days, isn't it? Yeah, I pay my bills online.
Is.
Everything I do is virtual. I mean, the only thing I get in the mailbox right now is grocery store flyers and garbage magazines that, you know, people are trying to act like they have a real subscribership, so they send me these trash magazines, but that's it. That's pretty
right.
much all I get in the mail these days, and I think that's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon at all, especially, I mean, where I live, I don't get any mail intentionally delivered to where I live because I don't want it here. So I go out and I check down the mailbox like maybe once, twice a week, and I see basically the same thing you described. There are all the coupon advertisements and all these magazines I would never have the foggiest interest in. And then I go to my business mailbox, which is where I have all my mail forwarded, and it's mostly paper copies of bills that I paid online or the inevitable pre-approved credit card.
Yeah, there are those. But, you know, you can make those go away, too, but that's a whole another talk. But I guess what we're saying here, Adam, is that in short, what, 10 years, 15 years?
Yes.
Life has changed a great deal. Look, when I was a kid, nobody, I mean, it was a science fiction idea to even think that you could talk to somebody on the phone and see their face. That was just ridiculous. That was a notion that was only showing up on, what, Star Trek or, yeah, you know, I don't know. I didn't watch much TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just didn't exist except in the minds of science fiction writers, and here we are.
Even on shows like MacGyver, which was like the late 1980s, you see him doing all this stuff with duct tape and everything. They would occasionally show the guys he worked for or the bad guys or whatever to be doing these video conferences where the person's face would show up on a giant TV. And I'm thinking, wow, I might live, and when I'm very old, they may be first coming out with this. Now, meanwhile, I think I've done about 17 Skype video chats this week.
I know. It really is amazing. I had lunch with my best friend yesterday. It was her birthday, and we actually left our home offices and got out in public. It was a momentous occasion. And
right.
we were talking about largely the same thing, like in our lifetime, and we're not particularly elderly. I mean, we really are not. Neither are you.
Right.
But in our lifetime, in just very short time, 10, 15, 20 years, we've gone from, you know, not being able to, I mean, remember when we used to dial the area code and then we didn't even have touch tone phones. At one point in my childhood,
oh,
we had a party line. I mean, things have really, really changed. And rapidly since the advent of the Internet, and then all of the marvelous things that we can do. And one of the big things that I wanted to talk with you about today is just the advent of social media, because I think it's so important how we can now do business with social media and social media marketing and all the different things that we can now do that we would never have been able to do, honestly, even about 5 years ago.
Right. And a lot has changed in the past 5 years. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day, that, you know, if we rewind to like 2008, 2009, we really were living in a different world. And and recently I had a milestone come up. It was like the 10th anniversary of something momentous that happened in my life. And I was thinking, where was I in 2004? And what was life like in 2004? And I barely recognized it.
I know. It really has changed dramatically, especially with social media. And I think you and I have touched on this just a bit. I remember when Facebook started showing up and Twitter, and I'm not a big TV watcher, but, you know, I'm always kind of, when I do watch a little bit of TV, I'm paying attention to the trends, what's going on with the commercials, even though, honestly, most of them I find offensive. I do want to know what's trending. And I remember back in the day, and this was not that long ago, where JCPenney was like, we're on Facebook. I'm like, what? Overstock.com was the first, you know, the first big company that I noticed really jumped into social media, and then, of course, Macy's and JCPenney, and it took the big stores, the big retailers, a while. But once they jumped on big, and now you can't get away from them.
Exactly.
But I remember
exactly.
when
that
first started happening. Yeah, yeah. But I remember when it first started happening, and I thought, I wonder if this is going to take off. And, of course, you and I were already on Facebook, and we were already doing, you know, our little bit to move, you know, that forward. But once they started adapting that, holy cow, it didn't take long, did it?
Not really. I remember my introduction to Facebook was in 2008, I signed up for this four-part webinar series. This is back when webinars were actually like exciting and new and cutting edge, basically. And one of the bonuses I got was the person who was organizing the webinar presentation. Her teenager would set up your social media accounts for you if you didn't already have them. So I had a MySpace, but I didn't have a Facebook, and I didn't have I don't even remember if Twitter was here at the time or what have you. But whatever I didn't have, I got set up at that time. So the originator of my Facebook account was some 14-year-old girl in Utah, and it still works, so I guess she did a good enough job. But that's about how much I knew at the time.
Right, right. And now, of course, everybody is there for one reason or another, and you still see people kind of stumbling through it who are trying to do business there. But the thing is that now there are so many ways to learn how to do it properly, so many people you can follow or ask to mentor or join a group. So there's really no excuse for any kind of huge stumbles if you're paying attention.
Right.
But this is what and we have this big topic to talk about today, launching your big online marketing empire with a tiny budget. I mean, that's a huge topic in about an hour a day. So, I mean, we've been having fun kind of taking that trip down memory lane, but let's get down to the nuts and bolts now, because I really think our audience is going to love this topic.
Well, the truth is, this trip down memory lane was actually very useful for this, because I remember when I was a student at Penn State, and this is back when most people still use the computer lab, because having a computer in your own room was still kind of a big deal. I mean, this just kind of puts a frame around it. And I was a political science major, and I was supposed to be doing all my poli-sci term papers or all this ridiculous stuff for all these quote-unquote general education courses they were cramming down my throat to get more tuition out of me, and you know, that's a whole separate story. I found myself inevitably drawn toward this whole exciting realm of this worldwide web thing, and I had some websites on GeoCities, you know where you have the animated. Yeah. Mine were like your typical GeoCities sites that people make fun of these days. We have your animated GIFs, and you have your pictures of your car, and your shout outs to your boys, and then the page dedicated to your girlfriend of the week, and all this other stuff. I mean. Fortunately, I was able to take all those down in time. But here's the thing. Back in that day, I was also very interested in competition auto sound, and I had a competition grade system, stereo system, in my 1988 Camaro. And for 3 years, I worked part-time jobs and saved up my cash so that I could buy used equipment from competitors on the local circuit. So I was getting like last month's competition stuff, which was still outstanding equipment. And nice. I was searching online. I was learning about the subwoofers and the amps and the distributors you put on, or I can't remember exactly what it is. Oh, the dual battery isolator you put on your alternator so you can have multiple batteries in the car and all this other stuff. And there were a couple websites at the time that were selling this stuff online. But even then I was thinking to myself, you know, if I could just figure out how I could buy and sell stereo equipment online, I could put that store out of business, or I could at very minimum have enough cash in my pocket that I would have some comfort in my life. Now, here in 2014, this is going to be, in fact, we can use this as part of the, at least part of what I can use the demo for our topic today. We can do that pretty simply. I mean, I was thinking back in the day, sitting in that computer lab, I figured, okay, well, there's probably like a company that has to put this together, and then we have to figure out this whole credit card thing, and then I have to deal with, I have to get a warehouse, and
no,
I have to have distributors and all
ship.
This other stuff.
Yep. From there, you know, from that question, it's like, okay, I don't want to do that. I'll drop ship. But then there's the payment thing, so I really want you to cover the payment thing, because back then, I don't think we had PayPal. I'm trying to remember now, because it's been a while, I'm trying to remember now how we sorted all these things out. The thing is, Adam, there were so many moving parts that putting up the kind of business model that you're talking about was actually really difficult.
Right. Exactly. And I'm actually Googling
really
now to find out when PayPal came into play, and it looks like, from what I remember, It used to be called this other company, and it was founded in the late 1990s. So in the time frame I'm talking about, PayPal didn't even exist. But let's get into this whole idea of the online marketing empire about an hour a day. I still see this. Companies that will want to make sure that the grandiose mega website has all bells and whistles 100% in place before they take a forward step in front of their customer. And up until 2010, I was in the web development industry up until August 2nd, 2010. I still remember the date of my liberation. And we would have these customers where there would be, and we were doing projects of like the $5,000, $10,000 range. Now, there are a couple reasons I decided that I didn't really want to be in that model anymore. First of all, it felt like all I was doing was being a financial middleman. I was paying the designers, I was paying the copywriters, I wasn't, you know, and really what I was doing was taking flack from the customers and cleaning up all the messes that everybody left behind. And it felt like I was paying everybody for the privilege of being in business. It's really a very tough model to work with for a lot of people, which is why you see so often, and this is a very common complaint we see unfortunately about web designers, is about halfway through the project they come to you and they say, you know, this project has gone way over and I should have bid like twice as much money for it.
I never do that. And I will tell people, look, if I made a mistake, that's on me. I never change.
You're one of the relative few, but what I want to expose here is where this comes from. The web designers aren't bad people. They, a lot of them mean well, and there may be some challenges in knowing how to properly do an estimate, but the larger problem that I see is when entrepreneurs and business owners treat the website as a goal. The website is not a goal. The website is a tool that helps you achieve the goal. I mean, what are you in business for? Are you in business to have a website? I really don't think so. You are in business because you want to create a dream life for yourself. You want to have a dream business for yourself, or you want to make a lot of money, or it's something you do so that you can take all that cash you make online, you can fork it into a savings account. I mean, there's so many different reasons why we have websites, but having the website in and of itself is certainly not a business goal. So this kind of drove my topic of build your online marketing empire in about an hour a day, because where I saw so many launches getting held up was on this whole topic of the website.
I want to circle back to that, too. I want to kind of drop a thought in there. We'll circle back to it. It used to be that the website was the goal. The website was the real estate. You know, kind of that whole idea, if you build it, they will come. That is absolutely no longer the case. And we'll circle back around to that and explain why.
Right. Well, a client of ours started a new business at the beginning of 2014, and the only thing they've done with it so far is they held a live seminar, which they sold out. I mean, there were 50 seats available. They sold all 50 seats, and then they promoted the event footage. Like, they had a videographer who filmed the event, and then they sold that as a product and made, I can't say the exact dollar amount, but let's just say it's pretty close to what they made on the live event, so it was pretty substantial. So altogether, you know, we're talking, this is a business that, that has only really done one thing so far, that is only semi-officially launched at this point, and it's already brought in maybe $50,000, $60,000. Mm-hmm. And that business's first true website will go online next week.
All right.
In fact, a conscious decision was made to have the events and sell the product and get the customers to pay for the website and not to even really bother with the website other than putting up a WordPress with an optimized press so there could be a blog for the promotions until the business had already made money and acquired customers.
Kind of like a landing page. You've seen a lot of that these days. People will put up a landing page and say, do you want more information on this? It's coming. They're building their list. They're finding out what people want, and then they can build what is being asked for. It makes perfect sense.
Right. I do digress. There are also like sales pages as well. There was a long-form sales letter for the event, which was then transformed into a long-form sales letter when that event footage was turned into a product. And then there was another product of the similar genre that the client had created 5 years earlier, and so that already had a long-form sales letter. Now it was just brought over to the other business. So that's really, you know, up until next week, the only real estate that company has had online up until now, and it's gone very well, which kind of drives my whole point about build your online marketing empire in about an hour a day. And I have a formula for that, which we'll reveal as we get a little bit closer here, because I want to get to a point where people can take out their pen and paper and just jot down what I'm going to share in terms of how to do that. But the fact is, if you want to be successful building an online marketing empire, you really can do it at about an hour a day. And you really can do it without having a huge budget or really much of a budget at all. I'm involved right now. I can't really say much about this on the air because it's covered under a non-disclosure agreement until it becomes publicly launched. I'm involved with the launch of a business venture right now that's using a very similar mindset. In fact, it was very recently decided with the board of directors to scale back what the initial website was going to look like because they're running into too many technical challenges with the WordPress theme they had identified. So it was actually me that went back to the board and I said, look, we're between a rock and a hard place on this. What is the bare minimum we need so we can get this business making money?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset you have to have. That's the mindset you have to have when you're launching your online marketing empire. What is the bare minimum you need so this thing can start making money? Because you don't want to put your website on your credit card. You want your customers to pay for your website.
Exactly. And the thing is, and you and I have talked about this online, offline, you know, we were talking in the green room earlier. You've been on this particular show 3 times now, I think. But we've had other conversations where we had a webinar, and you, I believe, were my guest a couple of times on Ask Denise. And the thing is, we've had a lot of in-depth conversations about this kind of thing. But honestly, you're right. And what my point was, and I almost lost it there for a second, but my point was, so many people just paralyze themselves by going, oh, it's not perfect, it's not right, I don't like the colors, oh, and you can just almost feel them wringing their hands. And I just want to reach through the phone and smack them and say, do you want money or not? Do you want followers or not? Do you want to share your wisdom, your tips and advice with people or not? Would you stop this? Drives me crazy.
I think, and I don't want this to turn into a dishing session because, you know, I know we still have plenty of time to share my little model here. But I remember back before that fateful date of August 2nd, 2010, we had developed a line of our business where we were setting up the squeeze pages and landing pages so people could collect opt-ins to start to grow their list, which is still a strategy we recommend. And and we did one of these. I think we were charging, $350 or $400 for them, but it was the full boat ride. I mean, it also included copy editing. This wasn't your typical, and I mean this with no disrespect, go on Elance and find somebody for $50 to slap off your landing page. I mean, this was the real deal. And part of it was, we put the thing up, and then if the person had any questions, we would spend 30 minutes on the phone with them. And the idea behind that 30 minutes, of course, was to make sure they understood it and also to try and get them to engage us to help them with writing email copy and things like that. Well, this person got on the line, and they said, okay, well, just so you know, I have Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and some other browser I hadn't even heard of. In addition to Opera, all opened up. Okay. And I see what you've done here, and I notice that my headshot is in different positions with these browsers. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking in the back of my head, okay, you're on crack because I already tested this. And it turned out she was measuring millimeters.
Oh.
I was trying to be as happy as I could with her because I knew that she was only going to get 30 minutes and then I was never going to speak to her again anyway. I just wanted her to go on her merry way. But near the end of this, after she finally accepted that Internet Explorer plays differently than other browsers, and she said, oh, I love your work, and I'm going to refer all my friends to you. And I said, if your friends measure millimeters like you do, keep them. I actually said that because I knew in the back of my mind, and this is going to speak to the mindset that we're going to talk about here, I knew that unless that person changed her mindset, I was never going to hear from her again anyway because she wasn't going to get anywhere with her business. And the fact is I never have heard of her again on the market. I'd have to go through my records to look up her name. I mean, it just didn't make an impact. And see, the problem is when we get stuck on things like that, we're not building our online marketing empire in about an hour a day. You know what I would have done if I were her? I would have put that landing page in front of every single audience and place that I could see. And if anybody even mentioned oh, well, I was testing your website on 4 different browsers, and I noticed your headshot's a millimeter over on Internet Explorer, I would either not respond to it or say, thanks.
It's just not going to happen. But it's paralysis. It's analysis paralysis, whatever
right.
you want to call it. It's a fear. And the problem with working or attempting to work with clients like that is it's just not a good idea. And once you identify them, it is best to just say, listen, you know, here is your product. I really wish you well with it, but we're done. And I have done
right.
that, where I've had one or two clients that were just so – I did ask one client, I said, how do you get your own work done? You're so busy standing on my shoulder. How in the world do you get your own work done? I wouldn't want to be you. I didn't say it exactly like that, but – we parted ways in short order, and you know who he is because we both worked with him way back in the day.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and this is somebody who I will tell you that I hold so dear in my heart, and I know that he is one of the most ethical, honest.
Yes.
I mean, it could turn into a love fest for this guy. And actually, I've heard from two other places as well, people who've had similar experiences with him. And he,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's still online, and he's still doing his thing, but he's doing basically
he
the
is.
Same thing as he was doing 5 years ago. I mean, he's still
yeah.
doing it. He's still plugging it out. But there's something holding him back. I mean, I've never met him in person, but I bet if I met him in person, I'd probably have like a five-hour conversation. It would be a love
yeah,
fest with him.
Yeah.
But when it comes to little things like millimeters and
I know.
Oh, my God.
I just told him, I said, you know, I like you as a person. I cannot work with you. I'm afraid I'll kill you. So he understood that. But he's just the most pleasant man. He's got the best manners of anybody I've ever met. I would never work with him again. He's not my client. He is not my client.
That's a thing. Nicest manners. I mean, talk about a polished gentleman. I mean, today's youth could learn from this guy about
yeah.
how to treat others. I mean, he's
yeah.
just that kind of person.
Yeah, but you can't work with him. So.
I've had so many others like that, and I commend him for what he's doing because he does have a good business. I just think that his business model actually lends itself more to offline marketing strategies. I think he would do better there if he spent more time on that.
It does. And the problem that I had with him, and I think you probably did too, and we're not alone in this, is he was so busy polishing the apple that no forward motion was ever made. And as you said, it's been several years, and everything's the same. So
right.
and I think that's too bad because he really is a lovely gentleman, but it happens. So, and then that
right.
goes back to your point when before I started interrupting you. I'm sorry, but the thing is, you have to just get it off of dead center and put it out there. And the beauty,
right.
y'all, of the beauty of the internet right now is you can log in, make a change, and correct that period, or that comma, or that sentence where you had. And, you know, you had an extra word in there. You can correct that on the fly. It's not like it was not that many years ago where we had to FTP in and, you know, make the changes in the HTML and put it back up there. You know, now you can just log into your WordPress dashboard, change it, enter, and you're done. So get those pages out there. If you feel like it's good enough message, for crying out loud, get it up there and test it.
Right. The only way you can test something, and this is part of the mindset that goes behind building your online marketing empire about an hour a day, is the only way you can test it is by putting it out there and putting it in front of customers. How do you know how customers are going to react to your copy unless you actually put it in front of customers and prospects and let them tell you with their pocketbooks and their comments? You can't possibly know that. And I have this with some of my top clients all the time who say, well, you know, we have to find a model that works. And how do we know what price point to use? And I say, well, you know the answer to this. And this is what pretty much anybody who's a leader in online marketing is going to tell you is, and this is one of the beauties of being an internet marketing consultant, is the answer to almost every question, and this is the honest answer, is, well, we've got to test it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to test it. And there's so many tools out there that allow you to test it. And another mindset piece for building your online marketing empire an hour a day is that it's a website. It's not 50,000 brochures you had printed. Now they're sitting in a box and you got to do something with them.
Right. Right.
Your website doesn't work, you take it down. It has a typo, you log in and you correct it and you hit save.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, can you give people some ideas on how to test something?
Okay, there's a couple different things, and this is a little bit beyond the scope of the actual topic here, but one of the simplest ways you can do this is through what many of our listeners will recognize as split testing, where you take one version of a web page and you test it against another version of a web page. And within Google Analytics, what you do is you set up what's known as an experiment. Google Analytics will walk you through it step by step. It's not really all that technical. You just have to know the URLs of your pages, and you have to know how to log into your page to install a piece of code. If you have WordPress, you can do it. It's very simple. And what it does is, let's say, for instance, we had two different headlines we wanted to use for our sales promo page. And, you're kind of torn, like, which one of these headlines is going to convert better? So I would set up two pages that are basically identical. One's going to have headline one, one's going to have headline two. And then I set it up through the experiments where when somebody goes to the URL for the, for that page, it'll display either the original page or the page you're testing it against. So 50% of your visitors will see one headline and 50% will see the other headline. Then you run that for, it depends on how many visitors you get to your web pages and how long you want to run the test or how soon you need the data. I typically recommend about 30 days so you get a real picture and that gives you enough time to put some real visitors on that web page. And that'll give you a sense of which one's working better. And Google will tell you things like which one is most likely to outperform the other, which one is better optimized, and a whole bunch of other factors. And then you also just look at it in your checking account. It'll tell you, which one sold how many and which one sold the rest of them. And then that'll give you a sense which one works better. We did one of these with one of my clients recently where they'd redone their sales page for one of their products three times, and the dagnabbing thing just still wasn't converting at all. And we're thinking this is crazy because we're using stuff that has worked so many times before. And finally, we had this conversation several times. We finally got to a point where we said, we got to test the price. I'm thinking that you've overpriced this, or you're asking for something too big too soon. So we did a split test based on the price, where one version was $500 and the other version was $400. And the $400 version won by a factor of about 7-1.
Now, how about...
That was an easy decision. Reduce the price by 100 and sell 7 more, and you're $700 ahead.
Well, exactly. And another thing that you can test is whether people want payments. Do they want to pay it in one lump sum? Do they want, the three payment? Do they want payments that are reducing or increasing over time? There's so many things that you can test.
One of the tests we're thinking about doing for the same client is right now when you go to his pages, it leads with the fact that you can pay, you can make one payment of the $400. And then underneath it, it offers a financing plan where it's three payments, and I think it comes out to like $425 all said and done. He just puts like a modest premium on top of that. Some people do 30%. He just does a modest one to cover his recurring charges and the fact that he has to wait for his money. So, he's actually very generous because I see some people charge up to 40% more for the payment plan where a $299 product becomes like $430 by the time you make the payment plan. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You might as well just rob a bank and pay for it. But anyway, this little talk about split tests is one of the mindset factors behind building your online empire in an hour a day, because it also gives you the freedom that if something's not working, you can just scrap it. Because what I see happen is people invest so much money up front before they get started that they start throwing good money after bad or worse money after bad, because they say, well, I already spent $6,000 on the website. I got to try to make this work. But if you've been doing it an hour a day, a little at a time, you're really not that invested. With that company that I'm involved here in Vegas that I really can't say anything about yet, we had purchased a WordPress theme and we just could not get the darn thing to work. So we made the decisions like, look, we were supposed to be like having this in front of customers by now, and we still can't get the pages to work properly, and the developer is not really any help here. So, we got to get to the cash. And it was a very easy decision to say, well, we spent a few hours of our time and $75. It's out. Find another one.
Yeah, I would find another theme in a hurry. Okay, so And I think I know what you're talking about, too, so I'm not going to say anything, though. Okay, so are there some steps that people can kind of follow? Do you have any kind of step-by-steps where people can start taking notes? Because we're covering a lot of territory here, and people are probably going, okay, but what's the first thing I do?
Well, I'm glad everybody was listening because this is all about the mindset and where you're going to get to and the things that are going to be on your plate after you build this online marketing empire about an hour a day. I promised a checklist, and I'm going to give it to folks. And I'm glad you offer replays of this thing because they're probably going to have to go back and listen to it a couple times, but that's perfectly fine. It's a huge value, and it's a step-by-step. But there's one final mindset piece I want to give folks before I do this, and you'll understand why when I do the checklist. So often we hear that let me ask you this question. Let's see what answer you come up with. And most commonly, when people say they need something in terms of their website, what do they say that they need?
Traffic
to their website. Well, I'm going to tell you, the very last thing that I want to my website is traffic. I do not want traffic, and I don't want it going to my website. Because when I think traffic, I think of why I work out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you imagine traffic, you have a whole bunch of people. They're all bottlenecked up against something. Everybody's frustrated, annoyed. They're already in a losing situation, and they're all vaguely headed to basically the same place that was not meant to accommodate all of them. And in the end, you get a very low-quality product in terms of what comes out on the other side of that traffic funnel. And website, I mean, what's a website? Landing page, squeeze page, product promotion page, blog,
social
media. And website can be one of those things, and it can also contain all of those things. Mm-hmm. What I want are targeted visitors to my web pages. That's a semantic and a qualitative difference from traffic to my website. Visitors to my webpage, and those visitors should be pre-qualified, prepped, and pumped. And now the reason I'm bringing this up is because when we're building our online marketing empire about an hour a day, we may not have an enormous ad spend budget, so we may not be able to do huge amounts of money for things like Facebook ads or AdWords or ad choices or anything along those lines. And we may be in a situation where we don't exactly have mass market appeal yet. So we may not be able to get the 5 million people in terms of all that push-button traffic to our website. But with an effort about an hour a day, you can certainly get 1,000. You can certainly get 2,000. That's going to be more than enough to give you good split test data. And it's going to be more than enough if you're targeted and they're the right types of visitors that you're going to make some sales and you're going to do some business.
And I love that you made that difference, because that's what I hear people say, I just want traffic to my website. And my question as a web developer and a marketer is, yes, but what kind of traffic? And it stumps them every time. So, and that goes to exactly what you just explained.
According to, I believe it's eConsultancy.com, they did a study, and for every dollar that's spent on taking that visitor that lands on your web page and actually turning them into a customer, $29 is spent on traffic acquisition. So we're spending $29 throwing a plate of spaghetti at the wall and only $1 trying to pick the noodles that are actually going to turn into money. I mean, that's I would call that ridiculous if it wasn't so sad.
It is, and it's kind of that old mindset, you know, you build it, they will come. Well, but what are they going to do when they get there? Do you have a funnel to lead them through? Have you laid out a clear path for them to follow? Do you know what the visitor experience is going to be there, you know, once they get there? And so many people just, I just want a really good-looking website, and I want this, and I want that. And my job and your job is honestly to guide them through what the visitor experience is going to be and how they can convert from visitors to actually making money from all this effort. And you and I have talked about this before. There are a lot of web developers who are very, very talented at what they do, but they have no clue what marketing is. And that's a problem.
Exactly.
It's
so
a big problem.
And I have web design companies that partner with my firm because we add that piece and we help them do better jobs with their web design projects. And so we're kind of like their back-end go-to, and we're like the outsider whose vision of the website and the vision of the business isn't infected by other people's tunnel vision. So let's talk about getting this online marketing presence built about an hour a day.
Okay, let's do that. I'm dying to hear. I know where you're going with this, but Go ahead, yep. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the very first thing that we need to do is, let's say hypothetically, I'm going to use my stereo equipment or my competition auto sound example for this model. So let's say that I decide I wanted to get into business and I wanted to sell competition auto sound equipment like subwoofers and amps and such for cars. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look for, because competition auto sound is such a broad industry, I'm going to look for some kind of longer tail to that keyword. And by long tail keyword, think of the short tail as the word training, and think of the long tail as something like meeting planner training or virtual assistant training or or website design training. So it niches down. So what I might do is I might say, you know what, I have this very special system because I'm just so good at it that I want to have an online store that specifically sells competition auto sound equipment that's custom designed for Camaros.
So I would figure out
what some of the keywords are, such as car stereo in my Camaro or Camaro subwoofer box. I mean, we could talk all day about that. And I would use various keyword research tools, such as the one that Google gives us, and I'll find out what kinds of phrases are getting the best search engine results, what people are looking for. Then I would go to a company, a domain registrar. I personally use GoDaddy, and I don't get involved in the debates over which domain registrar is best. I know who I work with. You work with whoever you like. But the idea is, is you're going to buy a domain that matches the key phrase you believe is going to be most commonly searched for, because a very quick way to get your website ranked in search engines is to have your domain match the search phrase you want to be found for.
And, you know, you would think that that would be common sense, but it's not. People come and say, okay, I've got this domain name, and it's a bunch of initials. Well, what the heck does that mean? Search engines can't read it. I don't know what it means. So that's a great piece of advice, and I want people to really pay attention to that. Obviously, you don't want a one that's 10 words long, but if you can condense what your message is down to 2 or 3 words, go for it and make sure they're strong keywords.
I might do something like carstereosforcamaros.com, something along those lines.
Exactly. But,
I mean,
I haven't done this research, but...
Yeah, I haven't done this research yet, but it would probably be somewhere along those lines, because I wouldn't be something that is not only friendly for search engines and is based on what people are actually typing in when they're looking for this stuff, but something that when I'm talking about it on radio shows or running ads for it or just having conversations about it, it's going to flow easily off the tongue.
Right. And so, that's just it. It has to be readable by the audience and by the search engine. So just use common sense.
Right. Now, the next step is once I have this domain purchase, and you'll spend probably between $8 and $10 for that, just all depending, is then you need to set up this thing called website hosting. And I am not going to get into the debate over website hosting, because for everybody that says, for example, and I'm going to use names that people will recognize, for everybody who says, you know, this is the third time that HostGator has gone down on me, I'm sick of this, I'm going to Liquid Web. And then 5 people comment and say, yeah, man, HostGator sucks, I went to Liquid Web and everything's cool. Another person will post, Liquid Web is down for the 3rd time, no response, that's it, I'm going to HostGator. And then 5 more people say, yeah, those people at Liquid Web, they don't know their heads from their asses. Thank God I went to HostGator, they're awesome. So I don't even get involved in it. What I say is find hosting that supports WordPress, a software called WordPress, and test their customer service by asking silly newbie questions and see how they treat you as the dumb prospective customer, because that's an indicator of how they're going to treat you when your website goes down right before you do a launch.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
then once you establish that, and
them.
find something that's comfortable for you, and just to give you an idea of a price range, for solid business hosting, what's known as a dedicated IP address, which you have to have if you want your emails to actually get through and you email your customers, you're probably looking in the range of about $150 a year. It's not a big investment, but if it's if that number is actually already making you cringe, you probably should hang up.
Right.
I'm going to say that bluntly. If $150 a year for solid, dedicated IP business hosting for your business is too much for you and you think you can get it for $60, you probably shouldn't be listening. I'm just going to say that very bluntly. I hate to chase your listeners away, but what I'm about to give here is going to be such a great stepwise system that they need to have the foundation of a solid hosting company with the email that's actually going to get delivered. So once
well,
we have
I agree
that,
with you.
Right. So the next step is you're going to go to WordPress.org. Listen closely. WordPress.org, not WordPress.com, WordPress.org. And you're going to download this software called WordPress. And then you download that to your hard drive, and then you upload it to your web hosting via something called FTP, File Transfer Protocol. It's the idea of uploading files to your website. Now, another way you can do that, and I know some people that do it, is a lot of times your web hosting will have an application inside its control panel. I know I'm talking a little techie here. Yeah, there's one called Fantastico, and then there's another one where the idea is you push a button and it installs WordPress for you. Mm-hmm. I have different opinions on those. I always teach people to do it the long form way because the other way is just easier.
Right.
It's like when you teach your kid to drive a car, you teach them to drive a manual transmission because you don't have to teach them how to drive an automatic. You teach them the skill you need to teach them, and then the other one's just easier.
Exactly. And you have to have WordPress.org. Do not go to WordPress.com, and I'm going to interject here because years ago when I first started out, I had this nifty little blog. I was so proud of it. And honestly, mm-hmm. I had some great posts on there. And I made a mistake. I mean, I made a mistake by putting an affiliate link in there. Didn't know that you couldn't. Who honestly reads the very fine print? And somebody who had nothing better to do reported it. It was a one-time offense. It was an affiliate link. One. I wasn't wallpapering the place with them. I just put one. And they took my blog down and would not restore it, no matter how much I begged or pleaded. I lost all of that body of work. It was about a year's worth of work, and it was, I mean, I was blogging every day. It was all good.
Right.
They owned it. They took it. I had no recourse. With WordPress.org and your own hosting, it's yours. You can do whatever you darn well please with it.
That's right. That's right. That's why I make that very critical distinction. So, and the point I want to make is every step that I'm giving folks so far, do your keyword research, identify your domain, purchase your domain, set up your website hosting, and then point your domain to your website hosting, and then download your WordPress and install it. Each one of these you can do. You can do each step. You can do each step that can be your work for the day. So if you're working a full-time job, you can come home, you can have dinner, and then you can get in front of your computer, spend about an hour, and just do one of these steps, one a day. And just make it easy on yourself. Don't put yourself under pressure. And then once we have WordPress installed, we activate it, and it's very simple to activate that. I have resources to show you how to activate it. If you're interested, just let me know. Then what you want to do
is
you want to get your website.
Tell people where they can go. Let me interrupt there. Tell people right now where they can find those resources.
I have a lot of great training videos on how to do things with WordPress. If you go to www.businesscreatorsinstitute.com, that's business.
Okay.
creatorsinstitute.com. It's a free membership site. Just go create your username and password and off you go. There's about 100 or so videos in there, and a lot of them are about all these WordPress things we're talking about here. So now once we've done that, now we need to get the website design done, which means we need to put out RFPs, we need to go on Elance, we need to compare 5 different bids, we need to do upfront payments and do long-range project schedules and build in margin for error and then mortgage the house. No, we don't. No, we don't. I said that all because that's the old way. That's the old way of thinking about web design when you're first launching something. The hour a day way is where you look for what's known as a WordPress theme. And if you want a shortcut for finding a WordPress theme, think about the type of business you're in and just do searches for it. And in fact, the majority of cases, you're going to find some other web designer or some other consultant or something who's put up a blog post called the 50 Best WordPress Themes for X for 2014. I mean, you can type in anything. Self-improvement WordPress website, self-improvement WordPress themes, virtual assistant WordPress themes, consultant WordPress themes, dentist WordPress themes. I mean, and chances are you will find it based on somebody else's recommendation. I do this as part of my consulting, and And I'm about to reveal a truth here. You know, people may pay me as part of my consulting fee a couple hundred dollars to identify the WordPress theme they should use. And I just revealed that I just do a search by that search term, and I just go through those results to see where my consulting value comes in. It's my knowledge of WordPress and my experience with so many other people who have used it. I go through those themes and I test the demos against what they say they want their business to do, and I think as them. That's my value. But finding the themes, easy. Now, there are so many companies where you can also go to search for the themes. So you have ThemeForest, you have Elegant Themes, you have Woo Themes. Right. There's this other one, SoloStream, which is also pretty good. I've gotten some great things from SoloStream. WP Zoom is one that I've had some luck with recently. There are just so many out there. In fact, I have some theme recommendations inside BusinessCreatorsInstitute.com. And once you buy this theme, and you're probably looking like, you know, about $75 to buy a theme. So $75 for your website design. And with most of these, as soon as you upload the theme to your website and you activate it, you can pick the colors, you can rearrange the layout, you can upload your own logo and just make it yours. I mean, that's an hour or two right there. So that's like another installment after work is, you know, one day I buy the theme, the next day I upload the theme and click the button to activate it. And then the day after that, I'm just going to go in there for an hour or two. I'm going to look at the documentation. I'm going to play with the settings. I'm going to change the colors. I'm going to make this look like what I want it to look like.
Right. And when you get stuck in these themes, because they can be daunting if you're not a WordPress expert, they have forums. All of these theme makers have forums. So you ask a question, read the answers. I mean, somebody's already asked your question, I promise. Just take the time and study up on it.
Right. And again, and if you find a theme and it just turns out to be a turkey where nothing works like it's supposed to, or the documentation seems like it was written in another language, or the developer isn't supportive, remember, you've only spent $50 to $75. Say, oh, well, buy another one.
And these days,
yeah. So now you don't have to worry about throwing good money after bad or worse money after bad because you've given all this money to a design firm. Okay, well the theme's a turkey. Okay, fine, get another theme. Oh well, $75. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. That's the hour a day mindset. Now once you get that piece done, then you may or may not decide you want to have a logo. Now if you don't want to do a logo yet. I'm going to have to find the article on this. I apologize, I don't have it immediately here. I'm going to have to do the search term for this. But the idea is you basically can just open up a Microsoft Word document, type out the name of what you're trying to do in a font, and then do a screenshot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or pay somebody on Fiverr. Like $5 to use the font that you've identified to create that for you and give you what's known as a transparent image so that it'll look right against your WordPress theme rather than like a white block, and then you upload that to your WordPress theme. And almost all themes have a thing that say upload logo here, and most of the themes will even tell you how wide and how tall the logo should be so you can give that to your person on Fiverr.
And you know, that's something relatively new too, just in the last couple of years. It used to be you had to really get in there and, you know, alter the CSS and
Right.
We've both been doing this a long time. I mean, just the strides that are happening now in WordPress themes, they're responsive, meaning that they will scale automatically to your iPhone, your Android, your tablet. They're now easier ways through the dashboard to upload things like your favicon and your logo, which didn't used to happen, even up to a couple of years ago.
Right, exactly. So once you've done all this, then what you're going to want to do is you want to go to the blog function of your post, type an interesting article, hit save, publish it, and share it with all your friends and get them to comment on it. Now you are a thought leader.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that about an hour, and they'll just get better with time on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And now,
and make sure, and this is a big tip too, Adam, we can't forget this one. Make sure, because all themes don't necessarily have this, but make sure that a plugin. I happen to like Yoast All-in-One SEO, but make sure that you've got an SEO plugin because that's what tells the search engines what you're up to. That's another topic, but just add it to your list. I'm talking
inside
to the audience
my
now.
Business,
make sure
inside
you've got
my Business
that.
Creators Institute, I maintain a list of recommended plugins.
Okay, good.
That's a hot topic. So So now, now we need to talk about list building. So very simply is you'll get what's known as an email marketing system, and you know, a whole separate conversation is which one you should get. You have one shopping cart, you have Aweber, GetResponse, iContact, Infusionsoft. I mean, there's so many out
MailChimp,
there.
MailChimp, yeah, the other.
I'm personally not a fan of MailChimp, and I definitely do not recommend this other company that seems to be out there. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't care for MailChimp either, and I know it's free, and I know I don't like it. I'm just going to put it
The problem I see is that almost everybody uses it technically violates their terms and conditions by using it for marketing.
I know it.
Like your WordPress.com. Cheap can be mighty, free can be mighty expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, don't spend
something.
A dime.
Right. Okay, so keep on going. I'm sorry. You know, we are, we're 5
we're,
minutes.
We're
can
very
you
close
stay a
to the
longer?
End, so I want to get, actually, I do have to be in another place in 5 minutes. But,
okay, good. Well,
I'll make an offer at the end here for anybody who can help, completely free for anybody who's interested.
Okay.
I just want to get in 3 more things about the hour a day, and I think I've given the aspiring entrepreneur enough to keep them busy for at least a week or two here, which is kind of what I intended. Is I mentioned the list building because you're going to want to put up this thing called a landing page. And the idea behind the landing page is you want to have the place where people can enter their name and email address. And what you want to do is you want to find out what are some of the top frequently asked questions or questions that should be asked in your market. And you want to host a teleseminar, which is an event where people dial in on the phone and listen to you teach on that topic. Because you do the teleseminar first, and it's going to get a better opt-in rate because it's going to have urgency and it's going to have time sensitivity that a PDF special report never will have. So you do this, and you start to build a herd. You get people on your list you can then follow up with. And then once you finish the teleseminar, you can have it transcribed and then edit that, and then you get your PDF special report anyway. So always start with a teleseminar rather than worry about, well, I need to put up my PDF special report. So I'm telling you, that's the hour away, and that's flipping it. And then even if you only get 2 people on that teleseminar and one of them is your brother-in-law, that's fine. You have an audience. That's
right.
Fine. Some people start with just one. I mean, that's fine. So I want to share that. And then I also want to briefly introduce, because, again, if I were to sell competition auto selling parts online, I would need what's known as a merchant account to collect that money. That I'd be able to hook up to my shopping cart. And PayPal sometimes works. It just depends on the situation. But typically, I recommend as soon as relatively possible, you get a true merchant account with a company. There are so many out there. Practice Pay Solutions is good. PowerPay.biz is good. AtlanticPaymentSolutions.com is the one I use. I've been with them for 11 years, and they've been fantastic. Never a hitch or a glitch. And the idea is you want to get a true merchant account, and you want to have a virtual terminal called Authorize.net. The reason I recommend Authorize.net is because it's very intuitive, it's very easy to collect money, and it will connect seamlessly to more of the types of softwares you'll ultimately end up using once you have a true online marketing empire than any other system out there.
That's true. You really have to have
it. So it's easy, fast, and fun, and I mean, again, you can, you know, the merchant account, applying for it, mm-hmm. That's an hour. Answering all their 25 questions before they approve you, that's an hour. Logging into your authorized.net and changing the settings and taking you out of test mode, that's an hour. Hooking it up to your One Shopping Cart account or your WooCommerce or whatever you're using, that's an hour. So, again, an hour, an hour, an hour, an hour. So you're doing it in such a way where you're developing this marketing system that is going to pay off for you, but you're not stressing yourself out and you're not breaking the bank over it.
Right, and it's logical and linear. So you're not just sitting at your desk and going, oh, God, where do I start? What's next? What's next? I mean, you lay it out. You start. You take the little pieces, and you put them in order, and then you just go do them in order. It's a very simple thing.
Right, exactly. So I know we're just about out of time here, and the problem with you and I is, and if we ever meet in person, I'll actually be the first person in the world who knows what you look like, first off, and second, you know, we'll probably have to book like an extra day just so that we can go through all of our topics here. But for everybody listening today, and I don't do this for most people. I mean, it is publicly available, but I only emphasize this to people who I trust. We'll take action on this, such as those listening today. Just go to my main website, which is helpmywebsitesell.com. That's www.helpmywebsitesell.com. And what I want you to do is just go up on that website, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's going to be a link to schedule a consultation, I believe is what it says. And just click on that. It asks you basically what you want to discuss. Mention in your comments, do you listen to this show, Your Partner in Success Radio with Denise Griffiths, and you want to talk more about the hour-a-day concept. And I'll spend 30 minutes with you as a compliment to you for being part of Denise's community. So take advantage of that while it's available. And then I can give a checklist all day long, but it's going to be unique to each person's situation how to make that truly work for you.
Adam, that's great. Thank you. I mean, I really appreciate you offering that to my audience, and I know they appreciate it too.
Absolutely.
And you've got your own, I know.
Again, always very happy to help. And I know that we're going to have you back on my show as well. And I'm always honored to be here on Your Partner in Success because your goals are so in line with what we do, helping business creators win at the game of business and marketing. I'm always happy to share with your heart.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I know you've got to run, so I'm just going to tell you how much I appreciate you being with me here today. You always give such great information, and I know our audience appreciates it as much as I do. And for our audience, be sure to go take Adam up on that offer. It's a very generous offer. And trust me, he knows what he's talking about. He can help move you forward. Everybody, the show will be available for download in just about an hour. And you can find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Adam Homey. Adam, thank you, and I will see everybody next week.
All right, take care, everybody. Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.